The Czech coalition government has just celebrated 3 years in power, and if there's one feature that has perhaps set it aside from its predecessors, it is the lack of corruption scandals. There have been one or two spread far apart, but that's about it. So a drop in the country's ranking in Transparency International's Corruption Perception Index was an unpleasant surprise. Chris Johnson looks at some of the reasons for the fall.
Only 1 point less in the corruption perception score compared with last year, but a plummeting 10 places drop in the worldwide ranking to 47th out of the 176 countries surveyed. In Europe, the Czech Republic did do a bit better. It was 19th out of the EU 28, but still found itself behind all the Baltic states and Poland, which scored a total which put it at 13th in the EU. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka of the Social Democrats and the second most powerful man in the government, Anna Lida, and Finance Minister Andrej Babiš both cast doubt on Transparency International's findings. But the findings are not alone. The Czech Republic's score in the Economist Intelligence Unit's Democracy Index fell for 2016 to 7.82 points from 2015's 7.94, and it remained in the category flawed democracies. At its presentation last week, local transparency director David Ondráčka spent a long time explaining the turnaround in the Czech Republic's previously improving performance and the reasons why the country appeared to have scored so poorly. One of the biggest reasons appears to be that many of the government's vaunted anti-corruption efforts have stalled, or been sidelined, or pushed through in watered-down form. And that's probably a tribute to the increased effectiveness of a second group of wheelers and dealers on the economic and political scene, the oligarchs. They have, in effect, realised that they don't need to corrupt the system when they can own or direct it anyway. David Ondráčka.
We see a lot of cases that got stuck during the judicial procedures and were seen as the flagships of anti-corruption fight. And lastly, we see a trend of state capture, which is very visible. Oligarchs are entering politics, they are buying media, they are trying to influence legislation, and I believe that this is what this index is actually reflecting and is reflecting in the perception of corruption.
Or perhaps to borrow from the catchphrase of carmaker Škoda Auto, the crooks have simply got clever in altering their game from overt to covert corruption and in covering their tracks.
The corruption is becoming much more sophisticated than it used to be. Well, you see that every big case is actually followed by very proper money laundering using offshore companies, and it's extremely difficult for journalists, activists, or investigators to go out to trace the money. We see that some powerful groups are really able to influence and rig the rules of the game. So they don't need to actually do something illegal. They are able to adjust regulation so that it actually legitimizes their behavior. And I think that's what needs to be discussed and realized, because this is the form of grand corruption that we're talking about.
And while the government has talked the talk on anti-corruption moves, it has not really delivered on a series of changes that would really alter the landscape and make it more difficult for corruption to exist. The blunting of anti-corruption moves can take various forms.
Well, we see that generally the anti-corruption legislation is done very improperly and got stuck in several instances. So example is that, for instance, law on whistleblowing, law on lobbying, or law on powers of Supreme Audit Office got stuck in the parliament and won't be in place in the foreseeable future. And we believe it's a mistake. In other instances, we see that certain regulation was passed, but not in a perfect condition, or some rules could be much better and much more consequent. I would mention law on party financing, law on conflict of interest, and other regulations. And lastly, there are laws that were enacted but they need to be simply enforced. We see legislation on betting industries, for instance, or the Civil Service Act that needs to be enforced properly, and it's not.
Let's focus for a moment on the Civil Service Act, a move that was supposed to pave the way for an efficient and effective professional Czech civil service. It was a move long demanded by the European Commission, with Brussels eventually having to hold a gun to the Czech government's head to force it to move. But whatever the faults with the final law, the main failing is that it does not appear to have resulted in any dramatic transformation of the service itself or the way it appears to perform.
Well, I believe that the implementation is in a way fake. A lot of the internal competitions for senior positions in public sector are not advertised at all. They seem to be just confirmed the people who are already in the position, so there is actually no real inflow of new blood and refreshing the public servants. There is still a certain level of politicization of ministries and government agencies. So you see that when someone is not playing in line, they need to they are being replaced. So, and lastly, the remuneration of civil servants was not finalized. So we still can see cases when someone gets enormous bonus at the end of the year, and there is no reason why, or it's not explained properly. It can be seen as something, as a gift for loyalty.
But the news was not entirely bad, though mostly it was. Transparency International's local director highlighted one law demanding that state contracts be made public, which he believes could make a real difference once it's been given some real teeth and begins to bite.
My position is that this register of contracts, online register of contracts, is very positive norm, which will actually shed light on a number of shady deals and will be kind of a sunshine act. However, it's in the initial stage when number of government agencies is not disclosing this information yet. They are very much hesitating about, you know, which contracts they need to be disclosed, and mainly there is still not sanction in place. So only since this July the sanction should be that if you don't publish the government contract online, then it's not valid. And I believe that's what will actually make a change and will really create some pressure on enforcement.
One of the reasons for the relatively poor corruption score is that many high-profile corruption cases seem to get stalled when they come to court. One of the biggest cases of recent years is that of former health minister and regional governor David Rath, allegedly caught red-handed with cash taken as bribes. The court case appeared to be proceeding smoothly, with Rath sentenced to 8.5 years, before an appeal questioned some of the key wiretap evidence collected by the police and used by the prosecution. Zdeněk Matula, president of the Union of State Prosecutors, sums up the surprise that resulted.
It was a surprise for us because according to the judicial decisions or according to European Court of Human Rights, this kind of decisions and the reasoning of this kind of decision was perfect or was without any problem.
Matula says a fundamental flaw of the Czech criminal system is that it is very formal and as a result becomes bogged down in procedural battles which drift a long way from proof of guilt or innocence. Reforms have been talked about for years, but there are not many votes in it and governments seem reluctant to act.
When the proceedings are very formalistic, it's very easy for attorneys to focus on these possible procedural mistakes rather than to focus on the core of the case. So nowadays 80% of our cases are about procedural problems, not about the core matter of the case, and that is the problem.
Another factor which influenced this year's corruption perception was the government battle over police reforms, which gave every impression that they were trying to curb a special unit doing a good job and had little to do with greater police efficiency. The battle cast further doubts over the degree of police independence of political machinations. And while Matula says he does not think the force is corrupt, he does believe it has trouble taking on the big fraud and corruption cases that might have a serious impact.
I don't think there are influences into the pending trials. I don't think so. But if you haven't good policemen, if you haven't a good prosecutor, or if you haven't a good judge, there you cannot have a case. So the problem is, problems at the beginning. We definitely need more skilled policemen who are able to deal with the most serious economic crimes. And this is the problem, because there are policemen nowadays, but still they need more skills, they need more background that will help them with these cases.